And he's a thief. And what he did, he introduced a new word into the vocabulary of our world, the word get. You know what happens today? Everybody wants to get, and few want to give. We're looking out for ourselves. But I want you to know that's not God's plan. God has always blessed Lane Prairie Baptist Church. I have a financial statement from the Cleburne National Bank on January the 13th, 1953. We had $457.50 in the bank. And I tell you what, back then that was probably a lot of money. But listen to me, I want you to know that God has blessed our church. Why? Because we have had faithful givers. We've had faithful stewards. By the way, you need to understand, that's what I want to explain to us today, what stewardship is. Because, you know, last month at the end of August, we had close to $200,000 in the bank. Now, we had right at $70,000 in our general fund. We have several thousand dollars in our special fund that's going to help pay for the remodel of our auditorium here, which should take place about the second week in November. Now, it looks like the chairs will be delivered, and we'll have everything ready to go. I'm excited about that. And you know why we're able to do that is people give above and beyond their tithe. They give an offering. By the way, there is a difference between a tithe and an offering. A tithe is 10% of our total income to the Lord. An offering is that which is above our tithes to the Lord. But we have adopted, we're going to vote on a budget this morning that's going to be a 6% increase over last year. And we're going to need $11,404 a week to meet it. Now, here's the good news. As of last Sunday, our church, this last year's budget, guess what we've averaged a week? $11,537 a week. So we're already meeting this budget that we're about to vote on. Isn't that good news? So all we got to do is do what we did last year. But you know what? God has prospered many of us more, and we'll be able to do more. God adds new members of our church, and we'll be able to do more. What would happen if every member of this church gave a tithe? Well, we would have to have the money picked up by one of those armored trucks. It would be so much. But you know what we'd be able to do? We'd be able to not keep it all. We'd be able to give it away. That's exactly what we're doing. We have increased our missions. We have increased our missions every year. That this year, we're going to give over 14% to missions. And our goal is to get to 15%. Now, that does not count our Lottman Christmas offering, which we gave last year close to $11,000, and our home mission offering that we gave over $5,000 to last year. That doesn't count that part. We have increased our mission giving every single year. And God blesses churches who are involved in missions, who are investing in lives. God blesses churches of that nature. Well, I want to talk about stewardship, if I may. The word steward comes from two Greek words. The word nemo, which means to arrange, and the word oikos, which means a house. So if you're a steward, you have the responsibility of arranging a house, keeping care of the house. Now, back in that day, they had stewards. You know what they did? They had these masters that owned a lot of stuff. So they would hire a steward, and the steward was responsible for the master's things. Everything the master owned, the steward was responsible for arranging and taking care of. May I tell you something this morning, folks? God owns everything. The Bible says it this way. In Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein." In other words, everything belongs to God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. He owns everything. And what we're to do is be stewards of that which he's given us. But see, here's our problem. Our problem is we have talked so much about stewardship in relation to money that we have robbed a lot of people of other blessings in stewardship. Because see, it involved the steward didn't only just take care of his master's money, he took care of his master's house. He took care of his master's things. He took care of his master's herds, cattle, and things like that. He was responsible for doing that. And folks, let me tell you what, we too are responsible for doing that. We're responsible for everything God's given us. And by the way, if it wasn't for God, where would we be today? Didn't God set the example? Oh, yes, he did. You know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he," what? "Gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He gave that we could have everlasting life. Stewardship is found throughout the scriptures. Let me give you some verses today. Listen to them. Proverbs 3:9-10. "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." In Proverbs 19:17, it says, "One who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 28:27 says, "He who gives to the poor will never want." Let me tell you something, church. When God started really blessing Lane Prairie Baptist Church is when we got a hold of this principle and we began to do it. When we began to take school supplies and give to school supplies to over 500 children every year, God begins to bless this church. When we began to give Thanksgiving baskets out, last year we did over 130 baskets to needy families in our community. God began to bless the church. When we started doing mission work in Brownsville and mission work in Africa and mission work all over the world through our giving of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the home mission offering, God blessed this church. In fact, our church, a couple of years ago, we were recognized as all the churches of Johnson County. We gave the most to the home mission offering. And there's a lot of bigger churches than ours, by the way. But God blesses us, folks. And I want you to get a hold of that principle. God will bless you when you give unto him. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 16 this morning. And I want you to see what Paul told the church at Corinth. He says in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," what is the first day of the week? Sunday. What do? "Let every one of you lay up for him in store, as the God has," what? "Prospered you." Now think about that. If we gave the way God prospered us, it would be more than 10%, I believe, "and that there will be no gatherings when I come, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberality unto Jerusalem." In other words, the churches at Jerusalem were hurting. They were a very poor group, and they needed help. And the churches, different churches, were helping them, especially the churches at Macedonia. If you read 2 Corinthians, I was there last Sunday. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, Brother Ricky read our verse for the week. It says that we're to give to the Lord because God loves what? A cheerful giver. Now, you know what that word cheerful means there? It's the Greek word hilaros. Hilaros. It means hilarious. An hilarious giver, not only money, but a hilarious giver of their time to God as we come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We are hilarious givers. Because what are we doing? We're giving our time to the Lord that we may honor him, church. And God blesses that. In fact, turn over there to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to pick up with verse 1, if I may. By the way, I don't have 3 points in a poem today. But I believe I have a word from God for us. And maybe you're visiting today. You say, well, does your church always talk about money? Absolutely not. And anybody that's been a member of this church very long knows that. Because we don't focus on money. We focus on people. Because that's what we're to focus on. Notice what it says in chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do that you would wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, having a great trial of affliction. Now, this is the church of Macedonia. He says, these people are going to give, and they're going through a great trial of affliction right now. The abundance thereby that their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they were in deep poverty, folks. These weren't people that, these were not the fat cats. These weren't the people that were the millionaires. They weren't these people that had a lot of money. They were people that God blessed and honored. Even though they were poor, they gave. For it says, for in their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But here's the key. Don't miss this. Verse 5. For they did not as we hoped, but first, catch this, they gave of themselves to the Lord. May I tell you something? The problem we have with stewardship, anybody has a problem with stewardship, you know what the problem is? The problem is you haven't given yourself to God first. By the way, he expects you to give yourself to him. You and I belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. We belong to God, folks. They first gave of themselves, and that's the reason God blessed them. And they followed the will of God. And then look at chapter 9, if you would. Chapter 9, verse 6. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let me ask you a question. If you wanted to have a great crop of tomatoes, what would you do? Would you put out one tomato plant? No, I don't think so. I think you would say, hey, you know, I want a lot of tomatoes, so I'm going to put out several plants. And through those several plants, God's going to bless that. Okay? I want you to hear this. We receive that which we sow. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. And by the way, I'm not a preacher that's going to stand up here today and say, oh, if you'll give seed money of $1,000 this month, God's going to give you 10 times that this month. I'm not one of those name it and claim it pastors, preachers. But I will say this, if you give of yourself and you're a faithful steward, God will give you that which you have need of. Because see, some of us, we might have need of grace or mercy, or how about peace, or about his presence in difficult times. That's what he'll give us. He gives accordingly, and God will bless that accordingly. And then he says, notice what it says, verse 7, and every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, that idea of grudgingly is that we're just kind of coming down here and say, well, I tell you what, I just don't want to give any money to the church. I don't want to give myself to the church. I don't care about church. I just want to kind of get what I want to get out of it, and that's it. That's giving grudgingly. But he says, don't give grudgingly. But he says, for God loves a cheerful, and that's where that word hilaros comes from. Now, I want to be honest with you. I've been a pastor, a minister for 47 years. I haven't run into too many cheerful givers. But I have run into several, though, that not only do they give of their finances, they give of themselves. Let me tell you something, folks. Do you know what? When you give of yourself, you'll receive a greater blessing than you could ever give. Do you know that? When I or you go visit a homebound person in a nursing home that nobody goes hardly and sees them, and we go by there and see them, you know what? God honors that. We receive a greater blessing because we're able to be there with them. And we come away saying, boy, that was great to be able to encourage them. That was great to be able to pray for them. That was great to help them. Whenever we see this church filled, when we do our school supplies, I mean, this whole church is filled up with people and children. Last year we shared the gospel and we had several of them accept Christ. But I want you to know, it was great to see the children's eyes. They lit up and we got a greater blessing than we could ever give, folks. Do we understand that? And see, we must understand this principle is God's principle, not ours. It wasn't created by the church. It wasn't created, say, hey, I think we'll just come up with this plan. We're to be faithful stewards, and guess what? Not only will we be faithful stewards to give, we're to be faithful stewards how we spend it. And this church does. It accounts for every single penny. Every month, we have a business meeting, and we have a financial report, and it shows how we've spent every single dollar, folks. If anybody has a question, they're more than welcome to ask. This pastor, I never look at anybody's giving record. You might give $5, you might give $50,000 to this church. I don't know that, and I'm glad I don't. My dad taught me that when I was a young pastor. Because he said, if you'll do that, what will happen is you might get a call at 2 in the morning and think, well, that person didn't give very much church. I think I'm going to just sleep in a little longer. See, we're not the minister that way. Doesn't matter whether you called at 2, our staff will get up at 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning. If you need us, we'll meet you at the hospital. Or we'll meet you at a hospice house. Or we'll meet you in a situation where you're going through maybe a family member that is going through suicide or a family member that's going through something else. We are here for you, and that's the reason God blesses us. Sometimes I wonder, how does people think that we keep this church going without financial needs? I mean, you get a Sunday school book, we pay for that. These lights that are on, that costs money. In fact, last month, we spent $1,200 on electricity. And that happens. When we're doing our basketball league, by the way, we have basketball league in January and February. Little kids are over there. We had over 100 last year. That's cost us electricity. But guess what? We're investing in lives. And people were saved as a result of that. Everything we do should point people to Jesus. We're not making earthly investments, folks. We're making heavenly investments. In fact, Jesus talked about that. Do you remember in his Sermon on the Mount, he talked about that. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to look at that. Matthew chapter 6. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and I think we're looking into K groups tonight at the Beatitudes. Is that correct, Brother Ricky? We're looking at the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are part of the Sermon on the Mount. And part of that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes some tremendous statements about our heavenly investments, by the way. I want you to think about that, a heavenly investment. Look at verse 19. Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May I tell you, where your treasure is that where your heart is? See, a lot of people, their treasure is in things. And that's where their heart is. They're thinking, if I can just buy that one new thing, I'll be satisfied. And guess what? They get that and they'll say, if I can just buy this one more thing, I'll be satisfied. And on and on and on. But Jesus says, gives some principles here. First of all, he says, earthly treasures are temporary. Moths will destroy material things like clothes. Rust will destroy metal. And thieves will break through and steal. Their earthly treasures are temporary. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with having finances. We got to have a way of living, right? There's nothing wrong with saving. Remember, I preached a while back on the fact that if you gave the Lord 10% and you saved 10% when you're young, these young couples would give the Lord 10% and save 10%. Let me tell you what, when you get to be 65 years old, you're going to have an investment in the future to take care of your family. Do you hear me? But I want you to understand something here. The Lord says the earthly, you know, we don't take any of this stuff with us, do we? I've never, you've heard me say this before, I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. It doesn't happen. You can't take stuff with you. So he says earthly treasures are temporary, but he says heavenly investments bring great joy. Look at verse 20. He says, but lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And then he goes on and he says, listen, where your treasure is. Is your treasure in heavenly things or earthly things? Jesus put a great value in people, not material things. And by the way, isn't that what we're about, church? About people. This church has always been about people. It's about people like you and I. When we go through difficult times, what does the church do? We minister to people. When people go have troublesome times back in the church of Jerusalem, the Bible says that whenever a family was going through a need, you know what the people would do? They'd literally come and they'd sell something and they'd bring it to the church, and the church would divide it as people had need of. And we take care of people who go through difficult times here at Lane Prairie. We've done that before and we continue to do that. And I want you to know that's what the early church did. Now, the only problem is Ananias and Sapphira didn't do right, did they? They sold a piece of property and they said, well, this is how much we got, and they brought it and it wasn't the truth. So what happened? They died on the spot. Now, I've told you this before. I'm thankful that people don't die because they're not faithful in stewardship, because we don't have enough ambulances in Johnson County to take care of that. But I am thankful that we have people that are faithful stewards and God blesses us. May I tell you what the bottom line is? Look at verse 24. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have one foot in the church or the things of God and one foot in the world. You're sitting on the fence and it won't work. You can't do that. You must be a faithful steward. And the church was challenged to do that throughout all these verses I've given you. In fact, if you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to the book of Malachi now. That's the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. You're going to have to listen a lot quicker than you're listening, by the way. Y'all do know a pastor preaches as fast as you listen, right? Say, boy, I've been listening to you fast, Brother Jerry, and you don't seem to follow that. You remember over here in Malachi, the Lord is saying to God's people, hey, you're not giving me your very best. They were supposed to bring a lamb that was without blemish, without spot, and they were bringing animals for sacrifice that were blind and halted and lame, and the Lord calls them out for it. And they say, well, wherein have we done this? And all throughout the book of Malachi, he calls them to that, and they ask that question. Look at verse 8 of chapter 3. These are some sobering words, and I'm going to share about how we can be stewards of a few things. First of all, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me when you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. By the way, the storehouse is the Lord's house. If you want to give above that to the Red Cross, above that to all these other things that people give to, that's fine. But you know what? We're to bring our tithes to the house, the Lord's house. And then the Lord says, prove me. He says, you test me. Herein saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. In other words, I find in the Bible two times heaven opens. One is at the baptism of Jesus when they pray. Guess what? The Bible says when we pray, heaven opens, folks. Because we have a God that hears us. You can stand here on earth and you can touch heaven with your prayers. That's powerful. When you and I can understand that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But out of that, the second time he opens up the windows of heaven is right here in Malachi. He says, you prove me, you test me, and see that if I will not open up the windows of heaven. He says, if you will do your part, I will do my part. He says, in fact, I'll do more than my part. I'm going to send you so many blessings that you won't even be able to handle it all. Wow, what a promise, amen? That's the promise of the Lord. But stewardship, let me talk about some things we need to be stewardship with. How about the stewardship of our family? Folks, the family is under attack today. Husbands, we're to love our wives. Wives, you're to be submissive, but you're to be submitting one to another, husbands and wives. You're to be honored. The Bible says in Psalm 127, God gives us children as a gift, as a reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty warrior. We are to be stewards of our family. And listen to me, husbands, you're to be a steward of your wife. You're to take care of her. Whoa, I'm going to give you another chance on that one. Boy, you guys are in trouble when you go home today. Husbands, you're to be good stewards of your wife. You're to take care of her. Okay, good. I thought y'all got that. You know, I can go past 12 if I need to, but you know. We're to be stewards of our children, parents. Listen to me. They're God's gift to you. You're to take care of them. You're to love them. They're not a terrible thing. You say, man, God punished me with this one. That isn't what they're saying. That God never says that. He says they're a gift from God. You need to recognize them a gift. You need to raise them. There's no such thing as part-time parenthood. I was reading an article on Fox News about lawnmower parents. Did y'all read? Anybody read that? It's about parents who do everything for their children. They never teach their children how to work, how to pick up their plate from the table, how to take care of their schoolwork. They do all their projects for them. Hello. I'm serious. And they call a lot more parents. In other words, they're just mowing the way for their children. But guess what? Those children are going to grow up one day, and they're going to have to be on their own. Well, that went over back a lead balloon, but that's still, I believe it. You're to be honoring God with your family. How about the stewardship of the gospel, folks? Do you realize the gospel isn't ours, it's God's? He's given it to us. We're stewards of the gospel. That's the reason he said we're to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to share the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We're stewards of the gospel. How good are we being stewards of the gospel? How many people have you talked about in the last month about the Lord? And told them what he's done for you. Stewardships of the gospel. The Bible never did say we're to go sit. It says we're to go. How about stewardship of our talents? God's given all of us talents. Some of you have a talent of singing. Now some of us don't, but some of you have talent of singing. What are you to be doing with that talent? You're to use it for God's glory. If you have the gift of music, you ought to be sitting up here in the choir. You see, we have more room up here. We have the chairs kind of separated, but we have room to put many more up here. We could even put them down here on the stage underneath here. We could move Brother Jake further up. He wouldn't mind that at all. We're to be using our gifts for the Lord. If you have the gift of teaching, you're to use that for the glory of God. If you have the gift of administration, you're to use that for the glory of God. Whatever gifts God's given you, he expects you to be a steward of, because, see, again, the gospel isn't ours. Our talents are not ours. Our family's not ours. They all belong to God, and we need to give them to him. How about the stewardship of our time? There's a lot of people that don't understand that. Every one of us have 168 hours in every week. How do we use that time? What would happen if we tithed our time? 16.8 hours. That means we would probably be here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. We would minister to people throughout the week, and we would help others, and we would be faithful stewards. We're to be stewards of our time. May I tell you today that time is short. Time is passing. Our life is but a vapor, as James says. It appears for a little while, then it vanisheth away. But we're accountable to God. God owns in everything. He owns everything. Giving is an act of worship. It reflects God's faithfulness to us. And we're to do it willingly. And when we do it willingly, God will bless us above measure when we're stewards of that which he's given you. Let me ask you a question today. What has God given you? Use it for his glory. And you know what I found in the church? Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the same abilities. Not all of us have the same, there's some people that, boy, they can just meet people and make them welcome. There's some people that can, just talk to people. It's easy for them to talk to people. But I want to tell you today, church, I believe in stewardship. And here's what I want to tell you today. The Bible, David gets old, and he says in the Psalms, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen God's people forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Why? Because there were people that understood that God owns everything. We're just stewards. And when we give of ourselves, by the way, you know what? That's where it begins. You know what? If you give of yourself, God's going to have the rest of it. He will. The problem that we haven't done, we haven't given ourselves yet. Give yourself. God will bless you abundantly. He will bless you above measure as we give ourselves. May I tell you some things practically? Number one, would you make it a matter of prayer, of being a faithful steward? You as a husband and wife, would you sit down this week and say, God, with your help, starting in October as our church starts a new budget year, that we're going to give a tithe to the Lord, and we're going to trust him that he's going to open up the winds of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't be enough room to receive it? Will you pray about being a good steward of your family, of the gospel? Would you pray about how God could use you in this body? Maybe some here today, you need to make a fresh commitment to being a husband or a wife or parents and say, boy, we've been looking at it the wrong way, Brother Jerry. But we understand today that we're stewards of our children. God's given them to us for a reason. And we're to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. We're to raise them in the ways of God. And by the way, God will not only bless you temporarily, he'll bless you for all eternity. Think about that. Stewardship. To arrange a house. And that's what God calls us to do. This is his house, by the way, not ours. And we're to take care of everything he's given us, whether it be the stewardship of our money, the stewardship of our family, the stewardship of our time, the stewardship of the gospel, whatever it is. And we could name a lot more there. But you know what? God has always honored those who honor him. He says, prove me, says the Lord. If we prove the Lord and I want you to know he's faithful, he'll say today, listen, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm fixing to bless your socks off. If you will do your part, God will do his part. Let's bow.